Okay, well, good evening. Welcome to Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. To start off with, we're going to look at several scriptures this evening that are not in any specific order. That is, we're going to kind of be going back and forth a little bit in our Bibles. But 1 John 3 and verse 22 is where I'm going to have us start off with, and then I'm going to make reference to Matthew chapter 6, but 1 John 3 and verse 22. I have labeled this message this evening, why isn't God answering my prayers? Why isn't God answering my prayers? And so I want to give you 11 reasons why God may not be answering your prayers, or why you think He's not answering your prayers. And I believe that these areas right here are important for us. When we look in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, God's word tells us, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Keep this verse in mind, and when we look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, as we couple that together with it, it says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as it is in heaven. And so there's a desire. Keeping the commandments of God, we keep Thy commandments, is what John writes here in chapter 3. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments. We do what He tells us to do. Okay? We're keeping His word, in other words. We're following His way, is what we're seeing here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, as Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so there is a teaching that is there that should help us to understand that what we need to know and trust in is God's will, His word, His way, and that we might walk with Him or walk with Him and to walk for Him as well. So the Bible provides guidelines for why and when God would answer our prayers. And this is what we're looking at here in these couple passages in John 3 and verse, or 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, 1 John 3 and verse 22, and then also in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 10. But there are also reasons that exist for why God does not answer our prayers. So we want to explore some of those this evening. Why doesn't God answer our prayers? We should know the reason God does not answer our prayers so we may know what we should repent from and how we should come back to God, things that we need to get out of our lives, different things that we ought to do, and that God would answer our prayers according to His purpose and for His glory. I want us to go to the first set of verses after this. Go with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 12. John chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse 44 through 50. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 44. The first reason that I have here is the reason why God doesn't answer the prayers of an individual, and this isn't for the Christian. This is for a person who's a non-believer. He's an unbeliever. Because a person has rejected the Father, they've rejected Jesus, they've rejected the Father's gospel. They've rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation. You know, if a person isn't going to listen to the gospel, if they don't want the gospel, if they don't want Jesus Christ, why would God answer their prayers? I mean, think about it. Think about the logic of it. You say, well, doesn't God sometimes answer their prayers? Well, maybe He does, but not because they prayed for it. It's maybe more likely because it was just His will that He was going to do it anyway. So notice with me, if you would, in John chapter 12, verses beginning in verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on Me, believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. What Jesus is emphasizing here, He's not saying that people don't believe upon Me, but He's saying foremost, primarily, the reason why they believe is because of who God the Father is. Once again, verse 44 and then following. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on Me, believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. And he that seeth Me, seeth Him that sent Me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear My words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judged him. the word that I have spoken, in the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So the person that's listening to Jesus is also hearing the Father. The person that rejects Jesus is also rejected the Father. So if a person says, oh, God, help me with this, and yet they've heard the gospel and said, I don't want that gospel. I don't want anything to do with Christianity. And then they have the audacity to pray. Such hypocrisy that would be there. If a person is going to pray and they are going to call out to God, they need to call out to him and ask him to save their soul. They need to call out to him in mercy as well. Let's back up to still in John's gospel, chapter 9 as well. John 9 and verse 31, kind of an interesting verse that is here. And even though it is the religious leaders that, or not the religious leaders, but the blind man that is making a statement here, we see a second reason for why God doesn't answer the prayers of people. Number two, it's because you do not worship God and you don't do his will. You don't worship God and you don't do his will. Most likely in situations, this is going to be also to an unbeliever, although there can be places where a person makes a profession of faith and they're not worshiping God like they ought to. They're taking all the credit for themselves. When they talk about God, when they talk about Jesus, when they talk about things of this life, they always seem to insert the word I in the middle there somehow, and where they're receiving the honor for what is being said. John 9 and verse 31 tells us this. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Kind of goes back with what we just read in chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So if you're not worshiping God, if you're not bowing before God, if you're not praising God, if you're not thanking God, if you're not acknowledging God that is the creator, that he is the one that supplies, that he gives you every good and perfect gift that comes down from above, and you think everything is by what you do, that's not worship. That's self-worship. That's not worship of God. It's self-worship. That's sinfulness. That's sin before God. If your prayers, if you have any of this going on where, you know, you've got some pride, you've got some arrogance that is there, and you want to call and you want to bring attention to yourself, maybe this is why God is not answering your prayers. John the Baptist said what? He must increase and I must what? Decrease, right? Or I must decrease and he must increase. And so there's a statement that is there that John understood the ministry that he had, the ministry of John the Baptist, even though he came out and he preached and men knew him and they knew what he said, he was pointing people to Jesus. And what we believe and our behavior is to point people to Jesus. It is to point people unto God himself. Let's look over in the book of James. Let's look over in the book of James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We look over in the book of James, we see a third reason is given to us here. The reason why God doesn't answer your prayers is because you did not pray the prayer. Kind of hard to get an answer to something if you didn't pray about it, right? God never answers my prayers. Did you pray? Well, yeah. When was the last time you prayed? Oh, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? When was the last time you prayed? How do you not know? You say God answers your prayers, but you don't know when the last time was that you prayed. Yeah, when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he tells them to always be in prayer, always be in a spirit of prayer is what he tells them in chapter 5. But here in James chapter 4, in James 4, he says this, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Your life's a mess. You wonder why it's the way that it is. When you look at what's in your heart, your priorities, your devotion is misplaced. Now, for the Christian, a person who says they're a Christian, maybe they really are a Christian, their life is a mess, it should be very, very obvious. For a person whose life isn't so much a mess and they're trying to stay on track and do what God would have them to do, and they honestly have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, Doesn't mean that they're doing everything right. There aren't any of us that are perfect, but we should be striving for that. That's what Jesus told us. That's recorded for us in the book of Matthew. Be perfect even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So he writes this to be perfect in this way. But people, their lives are, they're misdirected. They're misplaced. They have a lot of wrong priorities. And if our priorities aren't right, guess what winds up happening? We don't ask God. We just don't talk to God like we ought to. It's like the story sometimes that you hear that the person, you know, had an issue in life and he went and, you know, he talked to whether it was a doctor and then he went and talked to a psychiatrist and then he talked to, you know, a parent and then he talked to a friend and whoever it was and then finally it's like, okay, well, none of that worked. Let me try talking to God. And it's like, let me try talking to God. Why don't you just start there? Now you're asking everybody else, and the person who can resolve and solve the issues of life is God himself. And especially when a person's life is a mess, like James is showing here, that you've got problems in your heart, where you've got this lust, this kill, which is probably the hatred that is there, this desire to have, and you're not able to achieve or obtain what you want. You don't even talk to God about these things. It's really the life or the kind of life that displays more of a lost person than it does a saved person. So you haven't prayed the prayer. You haven't asked because your priorities are out of line. Let's go to the Old Testament. We'll come back to the book of James. So if you're looking at this with your Bible, go ahead and put a pencil there, put a piece of paper. We'll be back there in just a moment. But notice with me, if you would, in the book of Psalms, and go over to Psalm 66 with me, Psalm 66. And let me give you a fourth reason why God does not answer your prayers. In Psalm 66, and notice with me if you would in verse 18, Psalm 66 and verse 18. You find that the psalmist writes here, he says in verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard or if I cherish sin, sin is my first priority. If there's things that I should not be involved in, there's things that I should not be doing, if those things exist, if I regard iniquity, God doesn't hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, get rid of those things. If you want God to answer your prayers, get rid of those things. And people can have many of these things that we are talking about. But if you got something that's going on in your life that you shouldn't have in your life, get rid of it. God, and then open that passageway for God to open those doors that's there. James chapter 5 and verse 16, kind of a complimentary verse to go along with this. James chapter 5. So if you're there, just go ahead and go back to the book of James because we're going to look at a couple passages. We'll be back in chapter 4 here in just a moment. But before we get there, we've got a couple other ones here. In James 5 and verse 16, you find that there are some people that were in the church that was there, I believe in the Jerusalem church, but wherever it was, the statement is this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. There was sin that was in the church. Whether it's confession because you have done something wrong to your brother or your sister, there was sickness that existed. Now, I don't know all the reasons why people get sick, but when we do get sick, it's an opportunity for us to say, God, what have I done to deserve this? Okay. And that's an okay question as long as it's meant in a spirit of worship. What have I done to deserve this? Now, all sickness, as we know from the book of Job, is not because we've done something sinful. Job had things happen to him because he was righteous and he was walking with the Lord. But it's still a good time for us to ask, God, what did I do? And times it's not because of sin. There's other reasons why God would do something. But here were some people that were in the church that they were sick, and the Word of God is telling us that there was a lack of confession. There's a lack of making things right with other people that were in the church. So if I regard iniquity in my heart, two areas of the sin that is here. One, I'm going to do something that's pleasurable to me that I shouldn't be partaking in. The other one here is I've done something to offend a brother or a sister and I haven't confessed that I haven't made it right and sought their forgiveness in this way. Let's look at a fifth area here, James 1. James 1, verses 6 and 7. James 1, 6 and 7. Because you have doubt, you either disbelieve that God can or you disbelieve that God will grant what you ask of Him. And if we're going to disbelieve that God can do something or that God will do something, why will He? It's like coming to somebody and saying, hey, you don't really want to give me that, do you? You don't really want to do this for me, do you? Like you're trying to talk them out of it. God knows the heart. Notice with me, if you would, verses 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Wavering means doubt. Let him ask in faith. It goes back to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth. He doesn't stop us and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If we're just going to ask in our prayers, if we don't really mean we're asking, if we're just going through the motions, you know what? A lot of times Christians, we just go through the motions of prayer. We said the prayer. We asked God to bless the food. We said the prayer before we went to sleep. We said the prayer sometime during the day. We said the prayer in the morning. We said the prayer and we say, okay, but we didn't really give it a lot of thought. We weren't believing one way or the other. We just went through the motion of it. Shame on us. Go into it knowing that God can. Spirit of God is leading us. If it's God's will, that He will do these things for us as well. We're looking to the sovereign Creator who can do all things. So because you have doubts, either because you disbelieve God can or you disbelieve God will grant what you ask of Him, God doesn't answer your prayers, is what we see here in James 1, verses 6 and 7. Point number 6, because you have wrong motives. James chapter 4 once again. Because you have wrong motives. This goes along with what we read in verse 2. Let's go ahead, we'll read verse 2 along with it. James 4 and verse 2, verse 3 is where we're going to land on this one. It says, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, ye have not because ye ask not. Verse 3 goes on, ye ask and ye receive not. And then here's the reason, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. God, help me to win the lottery. God, help me to take advantage of this person. God, help me to... I realize those are definitely sinful things to pray for, but sometimes we don't even think about the things that we are praying for that, you know, it's just that we want it because we want it. Not because God wants it. Once again, Matthew 6 and verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus, while he was in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done, is the prayer that he prays there. So he's giving forth the answer, he's giving forth the prayer in this way. So if a person is consuming it upon their lust, if they're praying selfishly, pray selfishly. You know, it's not a trust in God. It's not a trust in God's supply. Your prayers are not answered because you have ulterior motives that do someone else wrong, and a result in you praying outside of God's purpose. And, you know, it really, this verse right here, when we're looking at it in James 4 and verse 3, that you ask amiss, is in contrast to where we started out in 1 John chapter 3 in verse 22, where John, when he writes, he says this, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments. We're looking to follow his word. We're looking to follow his will, what he desires of us. Whereas James paints a picture here that's exactly the contrary. He says, you have a problem. Your prayers are not answered. You don't pray. When you do pray, you pray for the wrong thing. You pray with the wrong motives. So may God help us in this way to see, to check our motives, to examine ourselves, to say, hey, am I praying, you know, about just merely what I want, or is what God wants for me? Number 7, why you don't have God answer your prayers is because you have unforgiveness in your life. Not willing to forgive other people. That's a problem. People can have a very bitter spirit. I realize people do things and they say things to us that can be hurtful. And rising to the occasion that says, you know what? They meant evil against me. For whatever reason, God meant it for good. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament. He was sold into slavery. They did, his brothers did evil to him in selling him into slavery. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good, and Joseph was willing to forgive. He had that forgiving spirit. There may be times, you know what, people still owe us an apology, okay? But there needs to be that forgiving spirit that is there. Or people, especially, they come and ask us, and they say, will you forgive me? And if we give people the answer and we say, hey, you know, I'll think about it, maybe, I don't know. No, the answer is if they're repentant, and they're telling us that they're sorry, then we need to forgive. Let's look at the verse here. Let's go over to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus said, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. People need to understand. I realize as Christians, our sins are forgiven. And when we come to God, we're asking to restore fellowship, not to get saved again. But to understand this, that God is displeased with us when we decide, hey, I'm not going to forgive. And I've heard people say, well, you know what? They hurt me really, really bad. I could never forgive them. But God forgave you. Yeah, but I could never forgive them. Person isn't understanding God's grace. See, God's grace, God's favor bestowed upon us while we were his enemies. And I realize there can be a lot of ruthless people out there. But the truth is that, you know, we need to have that spirit of forgiveness. And we need to be able to forgive. So maybe God is not answering your prayers because you still have a spirit of forgiveness towards a person or people that are in your life, even today. So get rid of those things. Ask God to help you with that. You can have that spirit of forgiveness and to forgive them. Let's go back to the Old Testament, number eight, Proverbs chapter 21, Proverbs chapter 21, God doesn't answer your prayers because you're ignoring or hurting people. You're ignoring or even hurting people. Proverbs 21, notice with me here, if you would, in verse 13. Proverbs 21 and verse 13 tells us this. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. So you have a person that's in desperate need here. He's reached out to you. This isn't the person that may be standing on, it may be the person standing on the street corner that needs help. But oftentimes, I think that there's some of those people that they're staying on the street corner, and that's just their way of living, of being lazy and mooching off of other people. I can't tell who is and who is not, but there's a person who has a definite need, and we're not willing to lift a hand. We're not willing to do anything. And if that's us, you know what? The Word of God tells us here in this passage, you know what? That God doesn't hear us. Let us be merciful unto others. We want God to hear our cry when we have a need. And there are times where it's just like, you know what, I'm giving you the last of what I have. Isn't that what you find in the Old Testament? Remember the widow and her son? And they've got like one last meal. And the prophet says, make for me first, and then make for yourself. And I'm sure she probably scratched her head a little bit. And she said, yeah, but if I make for you first, there won't even be enough for my son and I. That would be the rational thing to think. But she went ahead and she made for Elijah, made him food, and there was enough for them, and not just for that day, but for the next, and for the next, and for the next, and for the next, and for the next. So God extended their days. Why? Because they heard the cry of Elijah. Elijah had a need. And God sent Elijah unto this woman intentionally. What do you think would have happened if she would have just taken care of her and her son? It would have been it. They would have had their last meal, and that was it. Maybe God is not hearing us at times because we're just ignoring hurting people. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's a good one here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3 and verses 1 through 6 deals with a wife to her husband. But it's verse 7 that deals with a husband to his wife. And so it's a good reminder for us even to remind other men that, you know what, treat your wife well. Treat her well. Dwell with her well. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. For what reason? That your prayers be not hindered. Your prayers be not hindered. So if the husband himself is living, shall we say, in an ungodly way, if he's not giving honor to his wife, if he's not taking care of her, taking care of the needs that she has, then, you know, when they pray, they may not be getting their prayers answered for this reason, because of the husband. If God doesn't hear a lost person anyway. So why would you just keep praying about it? Okay, your prayers can be answered. Maybe his won't. Okay? But always do what's right. Number 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. God doesn't answer our prayers sometimes because he wants you to trust him more. God sometimes does not answer our prayers because he wants us, he wants you to trust him the more. He doesn't want us to become prideful. He doesn't want us to become independent of him. Some petitions that we have, some requests that we make, God is not going to answer them yes. Sometimes we're going to petition, we're going to ask God for something, and God is going to tell us no. However, it'll be a no, however. And so this is what we see in 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7. Paul writes, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So Paul asked three times. Whatever his physical ailment was in life, and this ailment came to him lest he should be too prideful or too arrogant regarding the amount of truth that had been given to him. Sometimes we have things that happen in life, you know what, to calm us down. Not only to calm us down, to make sure that we're not arrogant, but understand that we're blessed and that there's something that we, that comes into our life that is of a necessity that we go ahead and we trust God the more, because to compensate where other areas where we may not. Why doesn't God answer my prayer? Why didn't he make me well? Why didn't he give me this? Why didn't he help me in this area? Well, there's something else. There's another reason. So he's saying the answer is no in this situation. However, I'll give you grace. And if you'll just continue to trust in me and look unto me, I'll give you the strength that's needed for you to do what you need to do to accomplish what needs to be done for God's glory. So most gladly, Paul writes here in verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. For what reason? That the power of Christ may be upon me. That the power of Christ may rest upon me, is what he says. Lastly, here this evening, I'm going to give you one last one. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Number 11, because God has something better for you. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 26. God has something better for us than what we may be asking for. We may have been asking for something. This kind of goes along with number 10, but one reason in 10, Paul says, hey, lest I be exalted because of the pride, or I may be exalted in pride, or, you know, be filled with pride. God is keeping me low to continue to trust in him. Sometimes we ask for something, and God just says, no, I'm not going to answer that prayer. Not going to answer you, but he's not going to answer how we expected, because he has something better for us. Years ago, I remember this, that, you know, that I was praying about employment. And you know what? There's times where, you know, you pray about something and, you know, God doesn't give you what you asked for. Maybe it's because, it's not because of sin that's in your life. Once again, because he has something better for you. Okay. Beginning reading here, Romans 8 in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Just think about that for a moment. We're praying about something. Maybe we even believe it's God's will, but we need the Spirit's help. We think that we should be praying for A when what God wants us to have is B. That's hard, because oftentimes our desire is to have what's right there in front of us, or what we think that we should have that's going to help us. God knows better than we do. Once again, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So coming to God, but we're doing this, we're looking for the intercessory prayer of the Spirit of God to guide us on having him pray in our behalf and us just being there in the moment. And that's an oddity for most Christians, just being there and being silent, because we don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit taking it. But when we do know what to pray for, praying in that direction. Verse 27 still. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Notice the last phrase, according to the will of God. It's God's will that's there. And then when we come into verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So this comes together in this way. So you look at the message here this evening. Why isn't God answering my prayers? Maybe it's because, you know what, you're not saved. A person may be listening to this. Maybe you just haven't, you've never really received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never received him as your Savior. You're not worshiping God. You're not doing his will. And that's why God hasn't answered your prayers. Maybe you have received Jesus as your Savior, but it's really all about you. It's about what you want, your desires. Maybe it's because you didn't pray the prayer. You just never asked God. Number four, it's because you have unconfessed or cherished sin in your life. You've regarded iniquity in your heart. You're not going to give it up. Number five, maybe it's because you have doubt. You pray, you just don't believe. You just don't believe God can answer, that he will answer, and so he doesn't answer. Or maybe also number six, you just have the wrong motives for why you pray. Number seven, because you have unforgiveness in your life. Number eight, because you're ignoring hurting people. Number nine, because you're a bad husband. Not too many bad husbands that I'm seeing in here right now. Okay. And number 10, because God wants you to trust him more. And then lastly, because God has something better for you. So what is it in your life? I don't know what it is. This is a time, you know, to be examining ourselves, saying, God, you know, God, you sometimes don't answer my prayers. And there are times where God says, wait. But there's also times where God is saying no. And being able to distinguish between the wait and the no, or to be understanding between the wait and God hasn't answered because there's some form of sin, you know, we need God's revelation. We need his understanding on that. But may God help us to understand that when we pray, that we're not praying my will, but we're praying thy will.